The title of my sermonette is The Road to Peace. The Road to Peace. You know, real peace has not existed since the time of Satan's rebellion, when war broke out in heaven, and really even before then. Because that same warlike attitude and enmity came the moment when iniquity was found in Satan. And he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In my opinion, this type of attitude was the leading cause to an environment, to an ecosystem here on earth, in which the earth became without form and was void. Just like the adversary, humanity without God's spirit share a similar-like attitude because of the human nature that lies inside of us. I will seek glory. I will have power. I will divide and conquer, and I will be exalted. And due to the results of this human nature and attitude, we now see former thriving cities that are turned into wastelands. We see communities that were once greatly occupied, barren and desolate. And we see grounds that was once fertile, no longer fruitful. And you know, the nature of man has remained the same as it was when Cain walked the earth. And he rose up against his brother Abel, and he slew him. The only thing that's changed is now that the modern day kings of the earth have learned to kill one another from hundreds to even thousands of miles away. The scriptures tell us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if it wasn't for the spirit of the Almighty God dwelling in us, the same could be said about our human nature. And that's something that we should really think about, brethren, and make us really appreciate the spirit of God that we all have inside of us. Humanity carries the same attitude and the same spirit it had pre-flood. However, the unknown God, the one true God of heaven and earth that Paul enlightened the Athenians about at Mars Hill, the God that the majority of the world doesn't seem to know yet, he has a master plan. Now, if we go back to the book of Genesis, we see that the members of the God family laying out their SPS statement. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." We know that there's no way that this can happen unless mankind takes on the character of God. One of those character traits and fruit of his spirit is peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. God is called the God of Peace. And all those who inherit the kingdom of God will be called sons and daughters of peace. Matthew 5 and verses 9. There's a hope of peace that all of us have, brethren. But our hope is not anchored through the hope that man is going to fix the situation himself. Because what we find in the history of mankind is a repetition of cycles, the cycles of war. And not only the cycles of war, the after effects it brings, such as destruction, such as famine, disease, and heartache. So what is the real solution that will not only bring about, but sustain that harmony that we all wish and pray for in peace? Is it by words and promises? Can it happen in the form of peace treaties and ceasefires? Will peace come through the sharing of a personal experience of war, perhaps maybe by a wounded war veteran? Or maybe perhaps by the broken heart of a mother who has lost tragically her only son, a daughter, in the chaos that comes with war? Or perhaps, metaphorically speaking, like in a parable of the rich man and Lazarus, what if one was to go to the nations from the dead, like Moses or one of the prophets, or even perhaps Mr. Armstrong, who was an ambassador, an official ambassador for world peace? Surely humanity would be persuaded to pursue world peace instead of war, right? Sadly, that answer is no. Even now, we are still hearing of wars and rumors of wars and nations rising up against nations and also kingdom against kingdom. But there is good news, brethren, which is spreading rapidly among the people of God during this time. And that is the establishment of world peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government," God's government, "and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order, to establish it with judgment and justice, and from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Jesus Christ often spoke in parables to hide his message from the majority and the masses. And to the majority of those who have lived, the word of God in whole is just like a parable that would have to be explained. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8 says, "The way of peace they have not known, and there's no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace." Mankind has a history of choosing the crooked path, brethren. But fortunately for humanity, when God's government is established, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. And the crooked places that we read about, that we see each and every day, will be made straight. And the rough places will be made smooth. And how would a crooked path be made straight? How will peace come about? Well, the prophet Isaiah declared that the works of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. God's commandments define the way of true righteousness, and there can never be peace on earth until mankind follows the only way which leads to peace. And that is the way of love, an outgoing concern that flows through the channel of God's law. This leads to peace with God, and not only peace with God, peace with our fellow brethren, our fellow man. And brethren, do you want to know what the most exciting part about all of this is? All of you and the resurrected saints of God under Jesus Christ, you will play a part as priests and teachers. You will assist in educating the nations and witness the changing of lives in real time. And though the Lord will give some the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, their teachers, that's you, brother, all of us here, who endure will not be moved into a corner anymore, but their eyes shall see their teachers. They will hear a word behind them saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Now, suppose you were traveling abroad during the millennium. Just picture this for a moment. And you were suddenly invited to come sit under someone's vine or someone's fig tree. And then you have a conversation. The question arises, why are all of these swords, why all these guns and these weapons of mass destruction be beaten into plowshares? What would be your response? How would this conversation go? How would you explain it, and where would you start? You know, I thought about this long and hard. You know, I would start by telling them that this is how God intended it from the beginning. And before there can ever be real peace among each other, there must come first peace with God. The carnal mind is enmity and hostile towards God and his laws. However, through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God is still reconciling humanity to himself. He is extending to each of us and those in the future at that particular time an olive branch. And if you accept this olive branch, Jesus Christ will take the hand of the Father. And he'll reach way down where we are here. And he'll grab a hold of your hand and he'll bridge that gap of separation. But then you must continue to draw nearer to God. And guess what? He will draw nearer to you. And learn what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and all your soul. But not only that, it doesn't stop there. You must learn to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the starting point in the road to harmony and to peace. Now, is there an application for the Church of God now? Something that we can take with us each and every day, the ecclesia of God. I think we all know the answer to that, brethren. So whether you are seasoned, whether you're a young adult, we can all start practicing becoming peacemakers now. Blessed, if you want to be blessed, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And that right there, brethren, is a blessing in itself alone. This is a part of our calling and our civic duty as a Kingdom of God citizens. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, "Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Oh, brethren, just think of the extraordinary changes that we would see in the world and all humanity if we would simply believe and apply just one spiritual principle. Repay no one for evil. that vengeance is God's, and he will be the one that will be that shall repay. We don't have to worry about getting even. All we have to do is be obedient to God and live and walk in peace. And I realize that sometimes it's much easier to have peace when we all keep and have that vision, a vision that keeps our mind focused on Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." This is how peace flourishes among the people of God, when we keep our mind stayed on God and maintain that vision that he has given us and trust him fully. You don't have to turn there for sake of time, but in John, the 8th chapter, verse 53, we learn something quite interesting about maintaining that vision, especially in the case of Abraham. Jesus was asked the question, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Are you greater than the prophets? Who do you think you are?" And if you drop down to verse 56 of that same chapter, Jesus Christ responded, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Not only did he see it, he was glad." Abraham saw the day, brethren, in a time in the future where the word would be manifested into flesh. He allowed Abraham to see that salvation was to come through Jesus Christ. And because Abraham kept this vision, he kept it ingrained in his mind and etched in his mind fully, trusting God. The scripture says that he rejoiced and he was glad. Now consider the joy and consider the peace that comes along with such an eye-opening revelation. Abraham's peace came because he obeyed God's laws and he had faith and trusted in God of peace. Brethren, God has given you and I a vision. We have something that we all can look forward to and that we can rejoice and be glad about. And that is universal peace under the rulership of Jesus Christ. We can use our God-given vision to strengthen us and help us become more effective at being peacemakers when need be, just like Abraham was. You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis, the 13th chapter, we see an incredible example of what a peacemaker looks like. Abraham, he left Egypt with all that he had possessed with his nephew Lot, and they headed far south as Bethel. However, the land could not support both Abraham and Lot, with all their flocks and all their herds living so close together, because they had great, great possessions. So what you have next, you have disputes that broke out. That peace was interrupted between herdsmen of Abraham and Lot. Notice how Abraham resolved that situation. Genesis chapter 13 and verses 8. "So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. It's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And you know, I just love how Abraham points out those sweet and pleasant words. We are brethren. Whenever humanity wakes up and when they start to recognize and truly believe that this is possible, even through the body of Christ as a whole, what great joy and peace there will be. We can start practicing becoming peacemakers now, showing that God's way works and that peace is way more attractive than war. The way a disciple lives will prepare him or her to be a much more active and authoritative peacemaker beyond today, in the world tomorrow, or in tomorrow's world. Totally united in love, harmony, and peace. So etch this vision in your minds and be glad and rejoice and have peace. Because this is a vision, brethren, that is worth remembering.